1989 to 1993 was the Krishna consciousness explosion in Hungary. It was the tasting of real bliss of spreading Krishna consciousness and establishing Krishna consciousness. My good friend Indradyumna Maharaj is addicted to the festival program that he does in Poland, so much so that he doesn't get involved in other types of follow-up, such as establishing temples, maintaining a community, and so on. And I know the reason. The reason is that when you just go on Harinam, distribute books, meet people, have festivals, give them Krishna consciousness, it's such a wonderful, ecstatic experience. It's ecstatic both for those who give it, both for those who receive it. The follow-up or the ongoing cultivation and maintenance of Krishna consciousness, giving devotees the facilities to practice Krishna consciousness, like temples and farming communities, the kind of counseling, moral support, and personal support that is required, is a difficult thing. It's a messy thing. It is, like all preaching, ecstatic, but it has its own sorrows. In fact, more than the average share of sorrow. And that's why the good old days, the days of youth for the Krishna consciousness movement anywhere, are always especially sweet. And the same was the case in Hungary. We got our legal recognition in 1989, and my motto at that time, and somewhat more even at the present, was, let's avoid making the same mistakes that others made elsewhere. I had been in Krishna consciousness for about 20 years, and that means lived through the pains and sorrows of a generation's growth and development with Krishna consciousness. What did Gurukula mean? What were the risks of bringing Krishna conscious children into this world, educating them, the necessity and perils of Grihastha ashram, leaving the shelter of temple life and living outside and working, how that can be done both constructively and yet what the risks are, the immediate bliss of Sankirtan and the vows of devotees doing book distribution for their whole lives, and how that vow tends to change as they take on responsibilities in Grihastha ashram. So many experiences some of which I'm trying to share here, as well as the mistakes of not being honest in Krishna consciousness, the mistakes of not being honest in spreading Krishna consciousness, the mistake of simply working and serving without understanding the philosophy, in other words, studying Srila Prabhupada's books, the many mistakes that come from excess, sometimes we use the word fanaticism, that brahmacharis think that women are Maya, that all grihasthas are Maya, or grihastha ashram is in Maya, only to find themselves attracted to the opposite sex and ending up in that ashram in the future. The mistakes of solely trying to live up to the ideal without knowing one's own abilities, as to how to put the ideal into practice. In a less than ideal heart, a less than ideal determination, a less than ideal world, in order to ultimately reach the ideal. The mistakes of endeavoring for large projects that make devotees a slave of a project rather than becoming servants of the devotees, and the mistake of devotees sacrificing spiritual standards or their spiritual practices in the name of service because of the intoxication of power. So many mistakes. The idea was, let's avoid making the same mistakes. However, I was to learn that although I had the experience of seeing those mistakes and the determination to avoid them, that was not necessarily enough to have others who did not have the same experience and the same vision to give them the determination to avoid the same mistakes. And this was the way it was when I was young. My parents tried to give me the benefit of their experience in life, but most times than not, I was determined to learn by experience. And although I wanted to have a Krishna consciousness movement in Hungary that would spare us the aches and pains of experience, that was not to be. But in the initial burst of book distribution, book translation, it was a consideration that I had to repeat devotees, but at the same time, I could not fully fulfill. We were destined to make mistakes. Devotees were determined to make mistakes. It was a wonderful time as our English-speaking Hungarian devotees were translating Srila Prabhupada's books. That was, for me, a very relishable service when I would sit with the translators on a regular basis on every visit and go through their questions that they had in trying to understand or present what Srila Prabhupada had written in English in Hungarian language. And then, of course, the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. As I mentioned yesterday, first devotees were distributing books from tables. It took a little while before they got the boldness to leave the tables and approach people directly. And, of course, once they did and devotees got the taste for Sankirtan, then they dove into the nectar, trying so many different forms of book distribution. We're doing lights, we're doing parking lots, the streets, service station, door-to-door. In a country of 10 million people with decreasing population and a yatra of 10, 20, 30 Sankirtan devotees and increasing, we had to use every facility that we could acquire to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. And while for the first 2 years we were moving from one place to another in terms of our accommodation, devotees very quickly became bold and decided to buy a temple. Myself and Puri Maharaj were really quite reserved about that, whether they would be able to pay for a building. The first building, which is the Hüvesvár building, devotees who have gone to visit Hungary prior to the present property, we were in that building for 15 years, and it was a large family house that we agreed to buy for 15 million forint, which was a lot of money at that time, and repay within a year. And solely by Sankirtan and book distribution, we were able to realize that. My visits to Hungary were constantly saturated with preaching programs. I complain at the present that I don't have the opportunity to have so many public programs, university programs, festivals, namhattas, going to individuals' homes. It was constant preaching, and as a result of the constant preaching, there was a constant flow of devotees. But of course, whenever you preach, there has to be opposition. And our first opposition came in 1992 with a certain priest who somehow or another gotten hold of the cult controversy and began to target us especially as a dangerous and destructive cult. He was a very vehement opposition, but he also gave us great opportunity to preach. And for the next year or two, it was a real tug of war as to whether we were going to be labeled permanently as a destructive cult, although the issue even came up in Parliament, or whether we were going to be able to promote ourselves as a pure spiritual cultural tradition that dated back to way, way, way before the Christian culture, which was dominant in Hungary. And I have to admit that devotees' very expert preaching, their sensitivity and relating to the public really won over not only the public's heart, but actually the politicians, the public leaders, academic leaders, even religious leaders. And as a result, to the present day, we enjoy extremely good relationships in Hungary, and most part due to the preaching of the leaders in the Yatra, our communications department, but also the individual devotee's sensitivity as to how to relate to the public. That is the Sankirtan devotee's sensitivities especially. And this is one mistake that I think devotees avoided quite well. It was great preaching, great being with enthusiastic, vibrant Hungarian devotees, and it was the type of bliss that you could taste forever, although because the blissful devotees need to evolve through certain stages of varna and ashram, it was a bliss that would continue but would evolve in different phases. And in due course of time, we had not only brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, but ultimately devotees who were associating, devotees who were getting married. And perhaps sometime in 1993, we had our first devotee who moved out of the temple. In other words, no matter how I would try, we would have to follow certain patterns that were inherent in the nature of conditioned souls, and inherent in the nature of youth, which is that they're destined to learn through experience. They cannot just only learn by hearing.